Hi.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of Travel Unpacked by Colette, your go-to podcast for all things travel. I am one of your hosts, Nicole, and today we are diving into another episode all about multi-generational travel. Last week, we sat down with Alex, one of our colleagues, and talked about her trip to Costa Rica with her grandmother. And today, we're going to be sitting down with one of our colleagues, Patricia, who's been at Colette for over two decades. And we're going to discuss her trip to Japan with her son, Patrick. We had such a wonderful conversation all about their trip, and I'm so excited for you to hear it. So, Kelsey, have you been to Japan?
I haven't been to Japan. I haven't been to Asia yet.
I haven't been to Asia yet either. I think we've talked about this in all of our conversations about bucket lists. That's actually one of the things that brought them to Japan was just kind of checking boxes. I know Patrick has kind of the travel bug right now. He studied history at university. And he wants to go to places like Japan that just have a rich story that he wants to dive into.
You know, I love people chasing after their bucket list. Always a happiness for me. I'm excited to hear this conversation, though, because I think it's going to be so different from Alex and her grandmother because they had such a sweet grandmother-granddaughter relationship. I can only imagine that, like, Patricia and her son, Patrick, have just a bit of a different relationship.
Absolutely. And being that the tour that they took in Japan was one of our small group explorations products, I feel like there was just more built-in free time, more opportunities for the two of them to kind of do what they wanted to do on this trip. And they've done a lot of these trips together in the past. They've traveled a lot together. Patricia's been here a long time, so she's taken Patrick on a lot of trips, but he was younger, so they'd always be together. So I feel like that was something that really stood out to me was it is special to travel when your kids are younger, but I think when they're all grown, it's a whole different experience. You get to see them as the independent, strong person that they are today and now, and how they approach the world and what it means to them to kind of check that box.
I can only imagine. I'm excited to hear it.
All right. Without further ado, here is my wonderful conversation with Patricia and Patrick. So on this special episode of Travel Unpacked, I am so excited to sit down with my friends, Patricia and Patrick, a mother and son duo. Patricia has worked at Colette for 24 years. She's been all around the world. But she recently got to go to Japan with Patrick, her son. So welcome, Patricia. Welcome, Patrick. I'm so excited to talk about Japan today.
Hi,
great to be here.
Hi, hello.
So tell me, what inspired you both to take this trip together? And whose idea was it to pick Japan and this tour?
Well, we always liked the idea of Japan because it's one of those iconic destinations that is on everybody's bucket list. But Patrick had just done 6 months in the Far East, but he hadn't been to Japan. So we were talking about just after he finished university, how about we go to Japan and finish off your Far East journeys?
Patrick, you'd been in the Far East for 6 months.
I did Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam. Then I moved on to some other continents, but those are some of my favorite, especially Vietnam. It was probably my favorite country in the world, but Japan was always on my bucket list, but I knew it was so far away. But I also studied at a university, which piqued my interest in terms of the ancient history, which was great because when I went off by myself, sometimes I'd go explore castles and, you know, historic traditions like the samurai museums. So the tradition of Japan has been long, long before, but you talk about the feudal system. So it's just the Tokugawa society was not as ancient as a lot of things. It was very cool to see the progression in that, going through museums, going to castles, and then different regions of where all these feudal systems come together. It was really, really cool.
It's so fascinating. And Patricia, I have to imagine for you, I'm going to project here my own Colette experience, but Japan was one of the last countries to open during the pandemic. And there was this pent-up demand to go there for travelers. And it's been a big deal. I think at Colette, we've been sort of shouting Japan from the rooftops because we have these great trips there. Was that part of what had you all over this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because Patrick and I had already traveled once before with Colette to South Africa. So the fact that Japan was ready to book and available when we were thinking about where to go next was definitely a highlight for us.
So we have two tours that visit Japan. We have the classic tour. You guys took the small group explorations tour, Japan past and present. I assume the past and present piece probably sparked the interest for you, Patrick, in the history.
Especially studying at university and focusing on modern Japan. But I didn't just explore history and conflict, military stuff that I like, and then the history of World War II involvement. I actually learned to love it in terms of the food, in terms of the culture, traditions that are more modern thing now.
And how about you, Patricia? You know, food, history, culture, what do you love the most about travel?
I'm a massive foodie. I've done culinary courses and Japanese cuisine is always sort of an enigma. I mean, I didn't really know what I was going to face. I mean, I lived in the Far East as a young child, so I knew Chinese cuisine because we lived in Hong Kong. But Japanese is another level and it's very, very popular in London at the moment. So I was all about the food. And I wasn't disappointed.
Is it kind of the Japanese food that we see in North America? I picture sushi and sashimi.
Yeah. Oh, it was mind-blowing. I mean, I remember going into one of the department stores and the food hall is always on in the basement. And it's miles and miles and miles of all sorts of colorful, different meats, fish, vegetable, but bright colors. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. Patrick came with me to this department store and we just took so many photos because we were just mind blown by all the options. But the highlight for me of the food in Japan is the kaiseki dinner, which we had on our tour. And it just blew my mind because it's not only that the food is presented like a piece of art, but the containers that it comes in matches the colors of the food. And every course was a different sort of piece of artwork. It was incredible.
That takes plating to sort of another level. So how would you say your travel styles matched up on this trip? You said you've been to South Africa together, but now you guys each have your own interests and your independence. So how did the history, the food, things that you were both uniquely interested in pair as travel companions?
Well, for me, what was great about it was we had a lot of free time. So if we had gone out on a tour in the morning and we noticed or saw some, you know, historical buildings or castles, temples, then Patrick tended to go off in the afternoon and see those in more depth, whereas I went to the shopping and food. So we had our own time apart to do our own things. We did a few things together, like we went to the robot cafe on our free time because it was such an amazing thing to do. And we'd read about it before we went. So we just did a few little things like that together. But then we also had time to go off on our own as well to look at our own interests.
Yeah, we did a lot. Obviously, we're on the tour. So things like Nara Park with little deers, we enjoy that because everyone does that. But then the Fushimi and Nari, the Thousand Red Gates, that was so cool. But we all did it a little bit, but I went all the way to the top. I just thought I'm there, might as well. In terms of like a free day in the city, I'd go off to a castle. So like Osaka, we saw her on a boat trip, but I actually went, queued up and went in. I really like the views from up high. So I went to the top of Kyoto Tower. I went to the top of Tokyo Tower. We did some of that together, Mum, but I also just took it upon myself to go do things as well. I remember in Kyoto, I went to the Samurai Museum in Shims. So it's different, but we enjoyed a lot of it together.
I also have to say that Patrick has a lot more energy than I to climb up hundreds of steps and keep on going all day. So it was nice for me to be able to relax a bit as well in the afternoons.
It sounds like you guys had the ability to be with the group or be with each other, have those cultural moments together, but then the free time to be independent.
Yeah, no, it's a great mix of touring and downtime. I think every other day there was an afternoon free, pretty much. So Patrick would sometimes go back for a second look at a museum, or I would go off and explore these amazing department stores that they have. They had a department store just for stationery, which was just 6 floors of stationery, which I had to go and have a look at.
So you guys have traveled together a lot over the years, and Patrick, having just, you know, fairly recently graduated university, it's a unique experience because not too long ago, Patrick was a child who you needed to be with all the time. So how did this trip feel different?
Well, we've done a lot of travel in Europe, did a lot of tourist stuff when I was younger in London, which I love. I love London. We've, bear in mind, South Africa together, amazing. But I do take the time now to go with my friends to, like, I did Interrailing with my friend Morgan. I have just gone with my cousin to Northern Ireland. Like, I do little things with other people. So it's nice, but a lot less time traveling with my mum. But then you come together and it's special, especially for Japan.
Yeah, and I was going to say, because he is older now and he's living on his own and we're not together as much, it's a fantastic opportunity to come back together again and spend some really special time together and make new memories. I was going to also mention that I have a cousin in New York who contacted me and said they really want to go to Japan and they were thinking about going this summer, but my cousin's daughter wants to go to Japan with her grandmother. So I recommended this tour to her because she's starting university in New Hampshire now. She's just started. But next summer, when they finish school, she's planning to do this trip with her grandmother because her grandmother's now in her 70s and they don't see each other a lot now that she's in New Hampshire. So she's going to want to catch up with her grandmother and have like a girly trip away together. So I thought that was a great opportunity for them to share those special moments.
Well, that's so nice. And I'm sure from hearing your experience, they're inspired to go and have some of those moments for themselves. You know, when you grow up and you're not living under the same roof anymore, when families start having their independent lives, you can get together. There's parties, there's reunions, there's maybe a weekend somewhere. But something about packing up, taking a trip that's a week or so, I feel like that's, it's just different as far as reconnecting goes. What would you say about that? Because I feel like you're probably slightly more unplugged and slightly more switched on as far as just making the moments count.
It's so important, I think, to keep the connection going. And it's very easy when you split off in your life and you're living in one area and you're living in another to sort of forget or not take the time to come together as much. And it's not only a great opportunity to come together, it's also fun. And you have a lot of fun and you have a lot of experiences and it's really interesting. One thing is, you know, going to each other's houses and having dinner together. But it's another thing traveling together to another culture that's totally different to yours that you can experience. So you're not sort of focused only on your relationship. You're focused on how you both are experiencing this new journey. It's amazing.
That's a good point, too. You're completely out of your comfort zone. Yeah. And you're there together. So you're probably leaning on each other a little bit more, too.
Yeah. And also for my cousin, whose daughter's going with the grandmother, I don't think the grandmother would travel on her own that far at that age. So to have someone younger, you know, she'll definitely feel more comfortable going with a family member that she knows she'll feel safe with because they have that connection.
Patrick, I'm going to ask you, you sound pretty adventurous. So what was your favorite experience on the tour?
Oh, I wouldn't say it's adventurous, but seeing the amateur divers do their like 10-minute dives to come up with pearls, and then we had a really nice cooked meal by them. That was pretty cool. Or probably going off to the Samurai Museum by myself. Got some good snaps, I suppose. But I've got to say the favorite thing was Hiroshima, going to the Memorial Park. That was very meaningful and striking, you know, memorable more than anything, very impactful.
Can you talk a little bit about that experience? Because on the tour, you speak with somebody, right, who is a descendant of someone who survived.
Yeah, that was pretty cool hearing from someone who lived through it, Japan especially, because of the momentous extreme of what happened to them in the war. I think it was far more striking, especially because I studied it in such detail. To see what happened in the war and then see the after effects in person was quite a lot. When you go to the top of the Peace Memorial Museum, you can see out right down the middle of this passageway, and it's got the memorial, and then you can see the dome at the very end, and it's like, wow, it's just incredible because it's the only thing that was ever there throughout the whole team.
Yeah, the person that survived, she was 6 years old at the time, and she was there, and she's in her 80s now. She's one of the few remaining people who were able to talk to her. Not only that, but her daughter happened to be visiting her for the summer. She happens to live in London, but she was over in Japan for the summer and she was able to translate for her as well. But she speaks pretty good English anyway, because she goes around the world talking about anti-nuclear war, basically. So she's amazing, amazing person. But I think it was quite traumatic seeing all the photographs of the bombing at the time. But equally, it was such sort of a peaceful area because they rebuilt the city and they have these little cranes out of origami everywhere in the city. We've got them in our house now because you buy them as a souvenir. But there was a little girl who had leukemia from the bombing, and she had artwork with these cranes in Hiroshima, and they're still there all over the city. And it was a very poignant thing to see all the cranes that had been made out of paper, signifying peace, basically.
That sounds incredibly moving. I think that's a piece of history that everybody knows, whether you were alive at the time or learned about it in your history class. I think it's something that's sort of unifying, because no matter how you learn about World War II, that experience is just astonishing. And to talk with someone like you guys had the opportunity to, who can give a firsthand account, is an experience most people would not have. And I'm just curious, at 6 years old, I mean, did she have a clear memory of what happened? Because I know you can have core memories when something so traumatic happens, of course, form at a very young age. But it's all the same. I don't have too many memories from 6 years old.
Yeah, she did. I remember her talking about she remembered what she was wearing that day. And I can't remember much about where she was, but I know that her father had told her to run and seek shelter. And she was describing what she was wearing. So that was quite amazing, considering she's in her 80s now.
Absolutely. So shifting gears a little bit, as you experience moments like that, I know Patrick touched on the Alma Pearl divers, which their story goes back thousands of years as well. So you got to kind of experience them, I guess, taking the plunge, right, going into the water, and then dining with them, talking with them, having conversations. All of these moments, did you learn something new, obviously, about Japan and about the culture, but did you find you were also learning a little bit about each other during the trip?
Yes, definitely. We have traveled a lot together, and I learned that he's very curious, that he wants to fit everything in and more. Like what we saw on the itinerary, which is a lot, we packed in a lot of things. He would go a second time to see a monument. Or I remember one day him saying, I'm not going to rest this afternoon. I need to pack all this stuff in. I want to go and see all the government buildings. So I went along with him. And then we came out of the subway and there was street after street after street of government buildings. And he was like obsessed about going to each one. And I remember when we went to Paris, we went to the Louvre and he was exactly the same. He went to every floor, every room. He had to fit it all in. And I was so exhausted. I had to say, well, I'm going to take the train back to the hotel. I'll see you later. But he kept going. Once he's in a destination, he wants to see it all.
So Patrick, you're like a seize the day kind of person.
Because it's so far away and such an amazing place, who knows if I ever go back? It's one of the once in a lifetime sort of things. So I'm the sort of person who's like, if you're there once, you might as well do it all, because then you'll regret it going back. Because that was my philosophy in Asia, in South America, when I went, who knows if we'll be back to do it. But then there were some things that I just didn't have time for. I'm like, I'm definitely going back to do that. You got to see it all at least once in your life. So Japan, if I can make it back, I will. But I thought for now, try and do it all.
Now, what did you learn about your mother? Because you seemed very amused when I asked that question.
Well, I'd say the opposite. She likes her downtime. She loves to go on the group things and explore everything. I always knew she liked the food and the art. She's very patient with me, at least. No, it's good that she was up for doing as much as she did. But I saw her enthusiasm in what I wanted to go do, which is good because she was there to support me.
I know you grew up around Colette because your mom's worked here for so long. But did you feel like you were seeing your mom in her element?
Every time we've traveled somewhere, she's very savvy. She'll plan it out, and we do a lot. Even, you know, just to accommodate a lot of things I want to do, she'll make sure we get there, which is something I really admire her for. I was happy to see her involved with the food. I was happy to see her involved with the arts, generally just enjoying everything. Like another highlight of mine was she was amazed at was like the bullet train. Like you don't really get that anywhere else. And she loved that as well. So exploring the unique things that come to a country compared to me just wanting a viewpoint, like the really unique things, I was happy to see her enjoy that. But we're very disciplined. I like everything extreme as much as you can do. And she's like, no, I'll do my own thing. But when we come together, it mixes quite well. And I'm happy we did that.
So if you were on Survivor, she might not be the person you'd like to go with.
You'd always come skydiving me the next time I go. but who knows?
No thanks.
Next time you go, oh my gosh, I did it once, one and
oh,
done.
Oh, I did it twice, bungee jump twice.
You guys are giving me a lot of hope because my kids are very young right now. I know Patrick knows that well. He's played with them and they're not at a point where we could go somewhere like Japan, let alone go somewhere like Japan and split up and do our own things. So I have to hold hands and count heads right now. So this is very exciting to kind of see what our relationship and what traveling together could be a couple of years down the road.
No, yeah, definitely.
No, it's incredible. And one thing I thought we did, it was really fun to do actually on the tour, and there was quite a few opportunities to do it, was cooking classes together. Because I love food. I'm a foodie. Even though I could go off and look at food, we shared it because we had cooking classes on the tour. So there was one in Hiroshima. There was the women's cooperative that we did sushi making. That was really cool. And of course, the Kazeki dinner, we experienced that together.
But then even something like the matcha tea experience, which is really cool. I think it was still in Tokyo, the very first thing we did.
That's right.
I knew of it, but I don't know if my mum knew it of as well, but that doing that together as a first time type thing, that was really special as well. But yeah, she likes to cook. I like to eat.
What was the matcha tea experience?
It's like a special herb that's native, but maybe it's a plant, but you grind it up. You basically make her tea yourself, but it's a very rare thing, and unique thing.
Was it part of like a tea ceremony?
Yeah.
It is a tea ceremony, and they teach you how to make the tea, and there's a special technique in mixing the powder with the water to make the tea and how to drink it. And you're sitting on the floor, and everybody in the group made their own tea. It was pretty awesome.
So we've talked about some of the cultural experiences and some of the food on tour. People love to hear about accommodation. So what were some of your favorite hotel stays, just favorite accommodation?
When I first read it on the itinerary, the Kyoto Hotel was above the train station, and I thought that might be a bit noisy. In fact, it was amazing because it's a big sort of compound, if you like. It's a big hotel, but also it's part of a bigger center of commerce. So there's shops, and in the evenings you can walk out of the hotel and there's all these steps that are lit up with all these bright colored lights. There's a sort of a video going around the steps that you can watch, and it changes every few seconds. It was just an amazing structure and very comfortable, fantastic space, because I thought all the rooms were going to be very small, but in fact they were very good four-star hotels, lots of room. You know, obviously we had a twin room, so there was plenty of space in all our hotels actually. But I thought the Kyoto Hotel was a great location, because also you could look out of the window, the bullet train is coming in and you can see it from your window, so that was cool.
So it doesn't feel fast on the bullet train, but when you're looking out the window seeing it, does it look fast?
Blink and it's gone.
Wow. How about you, Patrick? What was your favorite accommodation on the tour?
In general, I just loved the tradition of Japan. To be fair, even in cities, anywhere near that sort of area, tradition is very important. Even when you're staying in a hotel, however modern it is, however built up or minimalist it is in the rural areas, tradition is very important. So it wasn't as if I liked one specific hotel, but just the general attitude of the staff, the people, the experience of being in a hotel. I enjoyed the places more than the accommodation. There was this cool hotel in Isashima. It was just like a stop off one night, had good food, anything with good food. So it was all very good. Four-star minimum hotels, very good service.
Also, I just remember the breakfast that we had in every hotel. It wasn't only a Western style breakfast, but there was also a Japanese breakfast as well. So you had like a whole, what we would consider a dinner, so rice, seaweed, fish for breakfast as well if you wanted it. So if you really liked what you ate the night before for dinner, you also could have it for breakfast as well. So that was really amazing.
I can mix lunch and dinner, but breakfast and dinner, I like that just much. Although I do sometimes have, you know, eggs for dinner. I'll do breakfast for dinner, but not dinner for breakfast. I want to chat with you too on the bamboo forest. How was that experience? Because I've seen the pictures, I've seen the videos, and it looks stunning.
It's so peaceful. We were with a group of 24 people, and you're walking through and you don't hear a pin drop. It's so beautiful. It's like stepping into another world. You're just in another dimension, really. It was amazing.
I remember getting some good photos. picturesque, very calm, even though there were loads of people there. We could barely hear a pin drop because I think people were just in awe of it all. There's nothing really like it anywhere else, at least I've seen. So I think it was very special all around. It was so popular, but colorful, very colorful.
I feel like moments like that on tour, because I know, Patrick, you were touching earlier on the metropolis type settings, Tokyo and some of the cities that we see on this tour. But when you're somewhere like that, I feel like you must feel really like your day-to-day life is very far behind you and you're really somewhere else. And I don't know, at least for me, I feel like whenever I'm somewhere that just looks nothing like home, it's like having your eyes suddenly open. Like you just notice everything. Even if you're taking pictures and you're on your smartphone, like taking those photos, you're still like maybe not as plugged in.
I agree, because it's like a once in a lifetime thing. You want to document everything. But when it comes to something like that, you've got to just soak it in. People just got to switch off, like from a phone. I just notice it more and more wherever you might be in the world. Phones are just a bit too much. So especially in a place like this, just enjoy it. Very peaceful and not something to be on your phone all the time. Get a picture or two, but then just walk around and hear the silence or feel the breeze against the bamboo. Like, it's just lovely.
Sounds amazing. I mean, Japan's been on my list for about a year now. I will admit it hasn't always been on my like top like places I want to go. But I, again, after it opened for travel again, we've really been celebrating it at Colette and we created this new tour, the one that you guys just took. And it just sounds amazing. And I keep hearing more about it and seeing the content from it, the videos, and it just seems like something we should get to sooner than later.
Yeah, definitely.
So just kind of to back up, if you were talking to someone who's thinking about traveling with their parent or child, what would you tell them is one of the main reasons to do that?
For me, there's so much to do in Japan for any age, from child to young adult to mid years to older. There's something for everyone. And it's going into one of those places that's so different to where you come from in the Western world. It's just the whole experience of being in such a different culture. There's so much to do, and 2 weeks doesn't seem enough time to fit it all in. It's just chock full of possibilities for all ages.
And Patrick, how do you think travel strengthens like that family bond?
I agree, my mom, that it is pretty inspiring. Like just going with anyone would be really special, going your own, but with going anywhere with my mom, it's quite special, especially because we've done it so often and we're kind of used to it now. But even if it's someone's first experience, it's a great bonding experience. When you have something like Japan has all of it, you can learn to enjoy it with anyone.
I was going to say, Nicole, that you shouldn't wait too long with your kids, because even for younger kids, the robot cafe, all the cartoons that come out of Japan and the artwork on the buildings, I mean, there's something for everyone and they will enjoy it as well. They would have a great time, I think.
I'm with you. We went to Costa Rica this summer and last year to Prince Edward Island in Canada, and we're just starting to take these Colette trips. We go, the six of us, but because my kids are young, we go with more family, with sisters, brothers. So the kids are with their cousins and some other children, but also I'm with my cousins and my aunts and uncles and my parents and brother and sister. You have these extra hands, these extra people to kind of help and create these moments with. But for us, the six of us, it's incredible. It's like so special. And as they get older, we will do things with just more us. But right now, the support is something that is super helpful for us starting to get out into the world.
I think so on this tour, there was a grandmother and a granddaughter on the tour as well. I think all the tours that I've been on recently with Colette, there's been a mix of ages and there's been some multi-generational families on every tour I've been on so far, you know, so definitely it's becoming more and more popular to travel with different generations.
For sure. So what is next for Patrick and Patricia? The Adventures, that sounds like a show, guys, or like your own podcast, The Adventures of Patrick and Patricia.
I was thinking, we've just been to Colombia, South America, and we went with my family because they've never been before, and that was incredible. But I was thinking, because we go to South America quite a lot anyway, I would love to go to somewhere like Alaska or the Canadian Rockies, because although I lived in America for 10 years, I never got to the Canadian Rockies. I'd love to do that.
It's gorgeous.
Does that sound good for you, Patrick?
Yeah, I'd be up for that. I've got friends who've been to that sort of area who've said it's amazing. I'd be up for something like that, but I've got the big ticket things on my list as well. China, India, some of the big sort of stuff in that, you know, Eastern realm that I'm still up to do. I don't know about my mum, but I'd happily go back to things I've already done as well, like South America, a bit of Australia, parts of Australia, New Zealand she hasn't been to. So I don't know what's next, but I wouldn't mind going to the sort of the big countries, but I know it's very far away. But we could still enjoy some of Europe that we haven't been to yet, Eastern Europe. Any chance to go traveling is just fun. Just getting out of the place. Get out of here.
Good.
Well, that's to me my favorite. I've been traveling with my family my whole life, with my grandparents, my parents, my cousins, and now my kids. My favorite is being able to laugh all the time, like from day one. You know, you're with the group, you get to know the others on the tour, of course. But when you're with each other, it's like you are just laughing at silly little things, daily things, poking fun at each other in a non-insulting way. But then that some of those things are things you'll talk about for years to come.
Definitely.
Yeah. My mom's going to miss me now that we're not living together.
Yeah. We have to find more trips to go on so I can see you more.
You see each other so much more when you travel together.
Yeah.
So what's your top reasons why people should travel multi-generationally?
So the three reasons to travel, one is getting together, connecting again, bonding and making more memories.
I love that.
Yeah, I think just the general excitement of traveling together is excitement for new things. I'd say being a bit out of your comfort zone as well. I think it's quite fun. I'd say just be able to have fun, make sure to laugh, because if you're not having fun, what's the point of going traveling?
Totally agree with that. Similarly, I want your top three reasons someone should consider going to Japan.
So I studied the artwork, so people might not know about it. But the art also encompasses a lot of history. So a bit of both arts and culture, history, the food is amazing. And also the people. People are so friendly. And for people who are traveling there to get used to that sort of traditional feel, it's very unique and something that I think everyone should sort of enjoy, at least when they go there, not just the big monuments and things like that, actually getting to know local people, because you'd be really surprised how nice they are.
Awesome. How about you, Patricia?
So for me, bucket list destination, 100% at the top. I think the nature, it's so beautiful. It has a lot of different seascape and mountainous forests, the variety of food and all the different techniques of cooking that they have there, which is very different from Western cuisine. They're my top.
I love that. Well, thank you both so much for having this conversation with me today about your tour to Japan, about traveling with each other, being with family. I can say from experience is one of the greatest ways to see the world.
Yeah, good luck to the little ones. And as they're getting older, enjoy more things with your kids.
Absolutely. All right. So that was the conversation that I had with Patricia and Patrick. They were so much fun to talk to.
That was fun to listen to. I really love their relationship.
Yeah, they had a slightly different approach, I think, to travel. And that just shows you that when you're traveling with your family, with different generations, I think it can be what you want it to be. It can be kind of like Alex and her grandmother, the ultimate bonding experience where you're always together and supporting each other through the journey. And like Patricia and Patrick, they used their free time to kind of do what they wanted to do. It was very individual at times.
And they still appreciated that about each other, I think, too, right? Patricia just wanted to go do her shopping. And Patrick, like you said, just really has that travel bug. He wanted to see as much as possible.
He would return to places they'd seen earlier in the day and just want to dive deeper. Like, he has that curiosity driving him. She knew he didn't want to go and do some of the things she wanted to do, and vice versa. So you can explore in your own way. And we saw that with them. So a multi-generational trip, same thing. You can do your own thing.
Yeah. And I'm sure it gave them something extra to talk about too, at the end of the day when they did get back together. I saw this or I bought this. I personally would have gone shopping with Patricia though, because I always like to bring a little something home.
I think so too, because she's also a foodie. And I'm like, I would have been all about like, let's go try the sushi or the sashimi over here.
Hey, whichever way works for you, as long as you're doing it and enjoying it and doing it together.
Absolutely. That's something I think we saw from Alex and her grandmother and Patricia and Patrick, was being together was the best part of the trip. So thank you for joining us on this very special episode of Travel Unpacked, all about multi-generational travel. We hope you enjoyed hearing all about Patrick and Patricia's incredible trip through Japan and how wonderful multi-generational travel is. If this episode inspired you to travel to Japan or to travel with your family and learn more about our tours, please check out the links in the show notes. Don't forget to subscribe and join us next time for more stories that bring the world to you right here on Travel Unpacked. Safe travels, everyone. Bye.
Bye.